You know, as I prepare each week, I seek to have everything tie together. The bulletin cover, the prayers, everything that's written inside this bulletin, whether it's scriptures or whatever, whether it's our call to worship, our greeting, every part of this I seek to have tied together so that it feeds as a part of the message. All of the hymns are to feed as a part of the message. It's all tied together. Now, you may not always see the connections, and I pray for God's guidance in that so that it is connected, so that you receive the message that God has for you. And it may come from one of those scriptures. It may come from the words that He has me profess. God's Word gives us loving instructions. Loving instructions on everything that's needed for living inside or outside of this building. Everything. And all we need to do is heed it. His counsel, His loving counsel is invaluable to His people. All who will seek it will find it. All who heed it will be able to find themselves in the center of God's will. We're embarking on a journey to grasp the biblical definition of elders and deacons. And how do we line up and where can we get a little closer? Because that's the goal. To be in God's will. Both roles are clearly outlined in God's Word. There's no mistake about it. God's Word's clear about biblical roles for deacons and elders. We're going to start by reading from the 6th chapter of the book of Acts. So if you'll open your Bibles there, we're going to go into the earliest days of the church. And we're going to see what God has to say about this role of deacon. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, and the apostles, as I had told the children, they were unable to take care of everything, and so they had the people choose 7 men who were of faith, men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, to serve and to assist those apostles. And today, the apostles are a picture of the elders in the church. And the deacons are the ones who assist in the work of the church, that the elders might continue in prayer, that the elders might continue in the Word. And that's what the elders, the apostles at that time, had wanted, was to keep themselves in prayer and in the Word. Again, Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And the goal of this message is that each of us would receive a deeper understanding of the biblical concept of elder and deacon. This particular message is for the deacons. At that time, as the number of disciples grew, Greek-speaking Jews complained about the Hebrew-speaking Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that the widows among them were neglected every day when food and other assistance was distributed. The 12 apostles called all the disciples together and told them, "It's not right for us to give up God's Word in order to distribute food. So, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men whom the people know are spiritually wise. We will put them in charge of this problem. However, we will devote ourselves to praying and to serving in ways that are related to the Word." The suggestion pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, who had converted to Judaism in the city of Antioch. The disciples had these men stand in front of the apostles who prayed and placed their hands on these 7 men. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem grew very large. A large number of priests accepted the faith. I ask that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. God has a way. He has a way to do things. And His way is orderly. He chooses men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom to serve in the church. Growth brought problems in the church from the beginning. And growth brings problems in the church today. Wherever we see growth, we see difficulties. And those difficulties have to be managed. And one of the ways that God has chosen to manage those difficulties is by appointing deacons. Because the deacons assist the elders. In the biblical concept of elders, the pastor is an elder. And the elders who serve are elders. And we serve the congregation to God's glory, preaching and teaching of His Word. Those people who had lived in the Greek-speaking areas had come back to Judea, and as the number of disciples in the way of Christ grew, so did the complaints. And at that time, widows didn't receive social benefits like we have now. The church was taking care of the widows in the church. And the 12 apostles called this meeting of the multitudes, and they said, "Choose from yourselves 7 men. It's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables." And they weren't saying that they were above that. It wasn't a prideful thing for them to say, "We can't serve tables." They were saying, "We're the preachers, we're the teachers, we're the ones that God's using to bring the Word in." And we see in many places in Scripture that there are various roles in the body of Christ. Each of us has a role in this body, in this congregation, in this church. They needed help, and those deacons became the helpers. The deacon's role was established to help the elders and to serve others. These days, the deacons aren't waiting tables, but then again, we're not serving meals every day, are we? No. But the deacons help in many other ways. The deacons can help with the day-to-day operations of the church. As the church grows, there will be more things. You know, some churches have lots of equipment. They have video equipment and audio equipment and all of this stuff. And there are deacons. There are people who serve that take care of these things. Much as my wife takes care of the recordings here, and as Bert Burnside has in the past. These days, those deacons serve out of love for God and others to ease the work of the elders. There's things that need to be fixed around here. Somebody has to do that work. And we could hire someone for $25 or $30 or $40 an hour and have them patch the cracks and fix the stuff, or we can have deacons who will do it to the glory of God. And we see that the deacons do that. And so do our elders, as a matter of fact. You remember times when we had elders on the roof patching things to keep the water from coming in. In the 10th chapter of Mark, we read where Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." And that's in Mark chapter 10. Now we know Jesus was served. Remember the woman that bowed at His feet weeping and washed His feet with her tears in her hair? She was serving Him. But that wasn't the goal of Him coming. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And this is what deacons and elders are called to do. To serve God. Serve God. This is the real meaning of deacons and elders. There's no pride in it. There's no, "I'm over you." It's, we serve together. We rule together. Because it's God's household. This is God's house of prayer. This is God's house of worship. This is God's house of praise. This is God's house where we come together to do His service, to glorify Him. That word that's rendered servant in verse 43 of Mark chapter 10, and the word served and servant in verse 45 are translated from the Greek word diakonos. It means an attendant, a waiter at a table or other menial duties, specifically a Christian teacher and pastor. Now, in some senses of the Greek word, the pastor is a deacon, one who serves, one who assists, one who works in the body of Christ. And technically, the definition from the Strong's Dictionary tells us that this means a deacon or deaconess. The diakonos is a deacon or a deaconess. In Scripture, the word diakonos is rendered minister, it's rendered servant, and it's rendered deacon, and also plurals of these three words. The Greek word tells us who these people are, the ones that we're about to embark on bringing into service here. And by the way, our Constitution says we can have as many deacons as the congregation wants, as many as we want. So if you have somebody that you'd like to nominate, please feel free to do that, because Constitution here says that you can do that. The word diakonos includes the idea of being one who carries out the commands of another, especially of a master. Who's our master but Christ? Christ is our master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. We carry out His commands. We follow what He says. We do what He wants. And that's all to the glory of God. This person who is the diakonos, the servant, is an attendant or a minister, and includes the idea of being the servant of a king. Who's our King of Kings? Christ is our King of Kings. And we're serving Him, no matter what we do. If we're patching a crack in the wall, it's to the glory of God. We're serving Almighty God. Christ is your King, then you'll act upon His instructions. And you'll lovingly serve Him by following His commands. Because, after all, it's all about Him. It's not about me or not about you. And like Paul, deacons are made servants of the gospel, according to the gift of the grace of God given by the effective working of His power. That's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Christ called Himself a servant, and we follow His example. It really is that simple. We serve because He first served. We love because He first loved. We sacrifice when we do because He first sacrificed. As our Lord, He's our only master, and we lovingly carry out His commands within our role at the church, even this house of worship. Among other things, the diakonos is one who, by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor and has charge of and distributes the money collected for their use. That's from the Thayer's Greek lexicon. This is the meaning of the word. The definition comes from the text that we opened with today. When you take the word that's written there in Acts chapter 6, you find that this is what he's talking about. Serving the needs of the people. The apostles chose deacons that they wouldn't have to leave the Word of God and serve people. They needed helpers. The apostles are the picture of the elders. The elders need helpers. And that's the goal, is to keep things going for God. The Greek word diakonos appears 30 times in 28 New Testament passages of Scripture. And every use is in the context of one who serves others. There's no way around it. We are servants. Jesus' mother told diakonos, which are servants generally, He told them to follow the instructions of Christ at the wedding of Cana. We see Paul calls persons of authority in government diakonos, ministers of God. In Romans 15:8, Paul refers to Christ as diakonos of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus was serving. He's calling Christ the servant of the people of God who were under the old covenant. We are servants of God under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant. We're servants of God under the new covenant. And we serve to the glory of God. It's written in Matthew chapter 20 and Mark chapter 10, that Christ said those who want to be great will serve others. He said He came not to be attended to and served, as I touched on earlier. And yet He calls all of us to serve because He was the servant, the one tending to the needs of others. His service on earth is a testimony of His love for humanity. And that's what our service is to be. A testimony of our love of God, our love of our neighbor. Our love of what God wants to have done to His glory. That's a testimony. The English word servant comes from the Greek word doulos in this other passage of Scripture. And it means a slave, literally or figuratively, whether involuntary or voluntary, and frequently there in a qualified sense of subjection or subservancy. We are in subjection to Christ. We are subservient to Christ and Christ alone. No other is our Lord. No other is our Master. No other do we serve but God. We do that by being in that servile condition, surrendering to Him, yielding to Him. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing His cause among men are diakonos, servants, devoted to another, to the disregard of their own interests. That's the diakonos. Our Lord lovingly gave His life here in service to humanity, and He calls each of us to do the same. His life is our example to follow as we fulfill the obligations of our role in the church. And when in doubt, we look to Him. When in doubt, we look to Him. We seek advice from His example. We seek advice from His way, and He leads us in our service. And as I wrap this up, I simply want each of the candidates for deacon and the candidate for elder, I want them to think of this, to remember that they're being asked to serve, not to be a boss, not to be a ruler, but to be a server, to be a servant. Because they willingly covenant with Almighty God to fill the obligations and the duty of a loving servant, just as Christ served. They're not to be lords over the people, but as Christ said, whoever wishes to be great among you, let him be a diakonos, a servant. We love God and we serve in love. Yours truly serves in love, loving God and loving others as self. We're not to be rulers over the people entrusted to us, but we're to be examples for the flock to follow. That's what Peter tells us. Deacons lay aside their own will and yield to God's will. We lay aside our own will and we yield to His will. This is what Jesus taught. Our service comes out of love for God and for others. It'll be balanced with our other responsibilities in life. Balanced. It doesn't overrule. Well, in my case, I can't say that for sure. But for the deacons and the elders, it'll be balanced because we have a life also and we're to live that life, but not to the exclusion of serving in God's kingdom. The deacon's service comes out of love for God and others. We're to lay aside our will. We're to be living for Him. And as we experience God's revival of the church, as we start to see God growing the body of Christ here that meets in this house of worship, we know that there'll be some difficulty. But let's trust that God will resolve those and that our deacons will assist in that process. Let's pray for our servants here to submit to God. That's from the Word of God. Let's pray for strength to resist the devil and have him flee from us. Let's pray for us to draw near to God and have Him draw near to us. Let's pray as we cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. This is what James says. Pray that we continually abstain from all appearance of evil. That's written in 1 Thessalonians. Pray that we won't restrain the Holy Spirit or despise the inspired messages from God. Remember, the biblical instruction is for deacons to be of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And let's choose men that fit this description. Pray for those serving and those who are willing to serve to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is a call for you. I want you to pray for those who are serving and those who are willing to serve. They'd be filled with the Spirit of God and remain in His will. Remember, they must also be mature in the faith, that they won't swell up with pride and be condemned with the devil. That's what the Word tells us. And let's pray for God's will to be done as we put them in charge of serving here as biblical deacons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are with us. We thank You, Lord, that we have men who are mature in the faith. And we pray, Lord God, that You would fill them with Your Spirit, that all would remain in Your will. You give us all of the instructions that we need on everything for living inside or outside of this building, Lord. Your counsel is invaluable. We ask, Lord, that You would help us as we embark on this journey to grasp the biblical definition of elders and deacons, and help us, Lord, to line ourselves up with Your Word. We know that Your Word has these roles very clearly outlined. And so, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to hear from Your Word. Help us to have the simple truth, as Mike prayed this morning, that we would hear from You, that we would see what You want us to see. Help us, Lord, to be honest in all of our dealings regarding St. John's. Help us, Lord God, to delegate to our deacons those servant duties as they choose to serve. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves in prayer and help us, Lord, as we preach Your Word. Help us to gain a better understanding of the role of deacons and elders. that we would be your people, your children, living in your will and your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.